Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Secrets of the Federal Reserve is a polemical historical-political study by Eustace Mullins. First published in the early 1950s, and later reissued under the title The London Connection. It argues that the United States Federal Reserve System did not emerge as a neutral public institution, but as the product of coordinated private banking interests working through elite meetings, political influence, and financial leverage. The book is best understood as an anti-central bank and anti-establishment work rather than a conventional history text. Its purpose is to challenge the official narrative of the Federal Reserve's creation and to present a model in which monetary control is tied to broader systems of power. Because it draws heavily on conspiracy framing, the book is controversial. But it remains historically notable as a prominent example of mid-20th century dissenting criticism of central banking and international finance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book reconstructs the alleged Jekyll Island origins of the Federal Reserve. The central argument of the book is that the Federal Reserve was not simply the result of public reform after financial panic, but the outcome of a private planning process among bankers and their political allies. Mullins treats the Jekyll Island meeting as the decisive origin point, presenting it as a secretive gathering where the blueprint for the Federal Reserve Act was allegedly developed before Congress ever debated it. This framing matters because it shifts the meaning of the 1913 Act from legislation to capture instead of a democratic response to instability. It becomes evidence that monetary policy was designed in advance by financial insiders. The book uses this origin story to question the legitimacy of the institution itself, suggesting that secrecy at the founding stage explains later controversies over control, accountability, and independence. In this way, the Jekyll Island narrative functions as the book's foundational premise and the lens through which every later policy issue is interpreted. Secondly, the London Connection as a theory of transatlantic financial command. Another major theme is the idea that American monetary power was shaped by older European banking networks, especially those centered in London. Mullins presents the Federal Reserve not as an isolated national institution, but as part of a wider international system of finance with deep links to the Bank of England and the House of Rothschild. This argument gives the book its broader geopolitical structure influence is said to move from European financiers to American intermediaries, and then into United States policy institutions. The point is not only to identify alleged participants, but to portray finance as an interconnected hierarchy that crosses national borders. By doing this, the book turns monetary policy into an issue of sovereignty, implying that the country that controls money can also shape politics, trade, and war, whether read as history or as ideological critique. This theme explains why the book has remained associated with suspicion of international banking and with anxieties about external influence over domestic institutions. Thirdly, Federal Reserve governance as a critique of unelected monetary authority. The book places strong emphasis on the Federal Reserve's structure and governance, arguing that appointed officials, rather than elected representatives, control key monetary levers such as interest rates and the money supply. Mullins treats this as a democratic problem because those decisions influence borrowing costs, credit availability, inflation, and the broader business cycle without direct voter oversight. The deeper logic of the argument is that monetary power is not merely technical. It is a form of political power disguised as administrative expertise. By focusing on appointment rather than election, the book tries to show that institutional design can shield major economic decisions from public scrutiny. This makes the Federal Reserve appear less like a neutral stabilizer and more like a mechanism that can shape winners and losers in the economy. Even readers who reject the book's conspiracy framework may still recognize the lasting relevance of this theme, since questions about central bank independence, transparency, and accountability remain central to modern economic debate. Fourthly, money creation, credit allocation, and the claim that banking policy drives business cycles. Mullins repeatedly connects monetary control to the creation of credit and to the rise and fall of economic conditions. In his account, the central bank does not simply respond to markets. It helps organize them by expanding or restricting credit and by setting the terms on which borrowing occurs. This makes monetary policy a lever that can affect investment, prices, agricultural conditions, debt burdens, and recessionary pressure. The book therefore presents the Federal Reserve as a system that can direct economic life indirectly but decisively. The underlying claim is not only that the institution has power, but that its power is structural by controlling liquidity and rates. It influences the behavior of businesses, farmers, and consumers alike. This is one reason the book resonates with readers interested in economic concentration, even though its conclusions are highly contentious. It translates abstract financial mechanisms into a broader argument about how money can shape society without visible coercion. Lastly, why the book matters as a controversial artifact of anti-central bank conspiracy literature. The final major dimension is the book's place in the history of political dissent and conspiracy writing. It is not a neutral academic study, and its author Eustace Mullins is now widely recognized as a deeply extremist and anti-Semitic polemicist. That context matters because it shapes both the structure of the book and the kind of claims it advances. Readers approach it today less as reliable economic history and more as a document showing how financial criticism can be fused with racialized and conspiratorial narratives. At the same time, the book is historically important because it influenced later anti-Federal Reserve and populist suspicion of centralized finance. Its survival across reprints shows that the text found an audience among readers distrustful of banking institutions and government expertise. The value of reading it now lies in understanding how arguments about monetary policy can be transformed into broader ideological systems, and how such works combine selective research, advocacy, and paranoia into a single polemical form. In conclusion, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve is best suited to readers interested in the history of anti-central bank thought, post-war political polemic, and the development of financial conspiracy literature in the United States. It can also be useful for students of propaganda and extremism, because it shows how arguments about monetary policy can be embedded in larger claims about hidden power, elite coordination, and national decline. Its practical value is limited if read as economic history, since its interpretive framework is highly contested and its author is associated with extremist and anti-Semitic ideology. However, it remains intellectually revealing as a source for studying distrust of institutions and the rhetorical strategies used to make complex financial systems appear politically illegitimate. What sets it apart from many similar books is its historical role. It is not merely another anti-Federal Reserve tract, but one of the most influential and widely circulated examples of that genre. Its blend of archival posture, conspiratorial narrative, and long-term polemical ambition gives it a distinctive place in American political publishing. If you would like to support Eustace Mullins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.